Without the presence of God, I don't know what my life would be. There's been so many things going on in this world, and it's not getting any better. But over the years, I found out that God is very, very real, and He wants to be real to us.
Sago, Skinagoga, welcome to the Storyteller. From the deserts of the Southwest to the frozen tundra of the North, and all across this great land, there are stories. True stories of First Nations people whose lives have been changed forever, who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Join us now as we listen to The Storyteller.
My name is George Olson. I was born in Cordova, Alaska. Actually, I've been called a hamburger Aleut. I don't know what that means to you, but my father was white and my mother was an Aleut, so that's makes me about half. So in our village, where the people have got their types of food that I'm not acquainted with, they know I prefer hamburger to some of the things they eat, and that's how I got that name. But I am an Aleut, and God has made all of us different. I was just a young boy when I first heard the gospel message. Got invited to Sunday school, and as a young boy, I heard the gospel message that you must be born again, and I obeyed it. Jesus told that to a man in the Bible, and the man looked at him. He says, how can I be born again? He said, how can I enter in the second time in my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about that. He described being born again as like the wind. You can't see it, but you can feel it and know it's there. And he said, being born again is of the Spirit. You know, a lot of people don't even realize that they are spiritual beings, but God created us in His image. We know the dark spirits. There's plenty of them around. But how many people have been born again and had the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, come in and control their lives? God's Spirit is very, very real. The Word of God tells us, behold what manner of love that we should be called the children of God. It also says that now are we the sons of God. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ into our life, the Holy Spirit comes into our soul and abides with us. That will completely transform a man. If we were to make a Bible study, you see that God's Word has promised to change us from the old man He calls to the new man. We're created out of the earth, and so the earth has to be here. So this body of ours has to be buried here again. But the Spirit that God has given us, that He breathed into Adam, is in us, and it's an eternal Spirit. God doesn't make throwaway things. It's kind of hard to describe that many years ago that what my emotions are, but I do remember just running down a hill down to where a depot was, where we had a train station, and just running as fast as I could and just feeling so elated. And I believe that was the Lord's moving in my life. That may not mean too much, but here several years ago, I'm an old man now, but several years ago, I received a medallion for being sober for 70 years. And you say, well, what about it? If you knew my background, if you knew where we were born and the way we lived, that would mean something to you. And to me, most of all, it means that no matter who you are, where you're living, and no matter how bad things are around you, that God is able to save you and keep you from sin. I never fell into a sinful life, and I've got the Lord to thank for that. I had brothers that were not that way, and I wondered many times why I was like that, but I'm thankful to be able to tell you now that the hand of God has kept me all these years. It wasn't the normal run of the thing to live like I did, and there were times when it was quite lonesome because that wasn't the popular thing. When you're a teenager, if you're the only one that's going to Sunday school instead of going out with the boys on Saturday and Sunday, you can be called a lot of things, a wimp or a sissy or a coward, whatever. And that's the kind of thing that you have to put up with. If you're going to serve God, you're going to have to make up your mind that it's the right way. And as a young person, I think that the Lord was good to me, and He told me I was doing the right thing. And it wasn't always easy, but it was the right way. And if I had to go back, I wouldn't change anything. There was a young lady in our town that was a prostitute, and she was very fond of me. as a young man. And more than once, she'd meet me, usually with liquor on her breath, and she'd come over and give me a big hug and a big kiss. And I did all I could to keep from punching her out. She called me Cousin George. She called me that because she was my cousin. The environment in Cordova was catering to that sort of thing. Much alcohol, much drinking, much immorality. But I want to tell you something. Before she passed away, while we were in the village, we got a call from Cordova. A young lady said, "Your cousin Dorothy is trying to contact you. Would you please call her?" I called up Dorothy, and first thing she said, "George," she said, "I'm dying of cancer, but I remember what Miss Hansen told me about Jesus." Miss Hansen was a lady that ran an orphanage for children, and she many times took Dorothy in. And I want to tell you how wonderful it is that in spite of her life, Dorothy is in heaven now because she confessed her sin to Jesus Christ. The mercy of God has covered her. That's a testimony to let you know that no matter what kind of environment you're in, God can keep you from all that sin. If you're in sin, He can wash you of your sin. The environment we lived in was bad, but God is able to keep me and anyone else that will put their trust in Jesus. It's very difficult sometimes to say exactly what God wanted, but I do know that as a young man, I never wanted to be a preacher and I never wanted to be old. But here I am right now. I'm an old man and I'm preaching the gospel and enjoying it very much. Without the presence of God, I don't know what my life would be. There's been so many things going on in this world and it's not getting any better. But over the years, I found out that God is very, very real and He wants to be real to us. I led a normal life. We were in a fishing town. I fished salmon and crabs, spent a lot of time on boats, I ran fish tenders, and had a very exciting life. Kind of made it myself, I guess. From a family of 8 boys and 2 girls, I was the 3rd from the youngest, and so I had a lot of bad examples, and it was kind of hard sometimes not to join in the crowd and just fall into the pattern that everybody else had. But I'm thankful that the Lord placed in my life a desire not to do that. But I also want to thank the Lord that He says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And here we are many, many years later. Out of a family of 10, there's only 5 of us left. And all of those that have gone on have given their hearts to the Lord before they passed away. And I can only attribute that to God's mercy. At a young age, at about 22 years old, I felt that my Christian life wasn't all that I wanted it to be. I went to Kodiak to find work so I could go to Bible school. I actually wanted to go to a mechanic training school. But while I was in Kodiak, I changed my mind and I was led to the Lord. I rededicated my life in a Baptist church over there, and the Lord led me to Bible school. And as much as my mother loved me, when she learned that I was going to Bible school, she was very, very unhappy with me. And the reason for that was that she was taught in her church that when you leave her church, you're going to hell. I'm thankful to God Almighty that's not true. Many years later, my mother died when she was 89 years old. I was holding her hand when she passed away, and I know where she went. So the mercy of God is far greater than anything we know about. My other brothers had lived their sinful lives. They were so thankful that I was able to minister to them, and each one of them confessed the Lord before they died. Going to Bible school, I went there for 2 years, and even in Bible school, I felt very restless. And so I felt that God was calling me for something, and I didn't know what it was. I returned back to Cordova. Against my will, I had decided I wasn't going to come back. But the Lord placed me back in Cordova where I didn't want to be. It wasn't too long after that I got married began to raise a family. Then I lost my health and placed in the hospital for almost 2 years. I think that if I were to be honest with you, I'd have to tell you that the time I spent in the hospital was my Bible school. I had plenty of time to read the Word of God and to pray. And in that time, there were some very difficult trials I had to go through. But God was in it, and when I look back, as uncomfortable as it was, I'll have to say that that was God's will. and he was preparing me for a day when I'd be in the ministry. Of course, when I got out, I led a normal life again. Then I worked for the highway department and was very happy as a job. Then God began to stir me again, and wife and I were both workers in church, but there was always something more that we wanted to do. And so at the ripe old age of 48, I learned how to fly. That sounds kind of foolish, but when God is in something, it's amazing what you can do. And we were interested in the village of Tetitlik. So after there had been a small field built there, I learned to fly. Today we're located in the village there. We're preaching the gospel, and we know that the enemy doesn't like it, but the promises of God are real. We're living in a very interesting time. One of the things that God told us in his word was that in the end times that there'd be some changes that we've never seen before. And I'm always reminded from the book of Daniel how he said that in the last days, men would go to and fro throughout the whole earth. That has always struck me as being very real, because my mother, who was born on an island in Prince William Sound, as a young lady, traveled in a kayak with a paddle. And before she died at the age of 89, she had ridden in a jet plane that goes almost 600 miles an hour. Not only have these things come to pass, but in the future, God has promised more. This world is coming to a close. The Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with man. And when we look at the word of God, and it tells us that it's going to be in the end time like it was in the days of Noah, it's very easy to put those two together and see that sin is more rampant now than it's ever been. There's things in just the newspapers alone and on the newscast that are hard to believe because of the darkness involved. And to me personally, as I read the Bible and as I preach the gospel, I believe that we're going to see the return of the Lord. And one of the greatest things that he told us was that in the end time, he would pour out of his Holy Spirit. And we've seen a measure of this. Even in our little village where we minister, we've seen God work miracles. We've seen people delivered from suicide. We've seen alcoholics turn around and go the other way. And there's so many things in God's promises. There's nothing God can't do.
Like George said, there's nothing God can't do. Some people feel like they've gone too far for God to forgive them. My friend, that's not true. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've been. God wants to show you his mercy and save you from your sins. He wants you to be with him forever. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ. So if you're wondering if God can save you, the answer is yes. And what's more, he wants to. We read in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Why don't you turn to him now? Want to know more? Visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab, New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take The Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.